Sei pancia tatta mine prittivia sia, purva prema bandera, mudra ugodia, pancia mine lutta prem core ashwadan, yata yata pietrishna badan kan. So a very famous verse in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7, text 20, is explaining that the Pancha Tattva broke the storehouse. So amongst the Vaishnavas at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were contemplating the Prema Bandar, or the storehouse of love of God. And they would see that somehow or other, now that love of God was touching so many devotees and they all became transformed by it. The funny thing is that one cannot immediately see it. One becomes touched by this movement, which is made of pure prema, and one is saying, what is this? What is this Hare Krishna movement? Is it some sort of cult? Is it yoga? Is it music? What is it? What is all this? Too strange. At least that's what I thought. I don't know what you thought. But after I looked at it, I thought, too strange. Not for me. No, I liked spiritual things, but not something strange like this. Why do you have to dress strange and look strange? God, eat in an impossible diet. Right? You can no longer visit any family member. Everything they offer, right? I mean, what would you like to drink? Water? Water? Water, please. Yes, very nice. Thank you. Are you hungry? No, no. 3 hours later, still not hungry. No, not really. What to do? It's very difficult. I thought, no, that's not for me. It's for other people. You know, maybe people who are fanatic. But I did not understand what was happening. I didn't understand that Lord Chaitanya's movement had sort of entered into the world everywhere and was just going to not just let go, and that it would come from all directions, from everywhere. This Hare Krishna was all over the place. Really, it was everywhere. It was among those on the radio, on television. It just, you couldn't escape it. Everywhere. Of course, then George Harrison did it. Then it was bona fide, because whatever George Harrison did was bona fide. So suddenly, overnight, Hare Krishna had become bona fide. So My Sweet Lord, you have to understand, was not just a song. It wasn't that. It made Hare Krishna bona fide. That's what really happened when My Sweet Lord came out. No one could say, Hare Krishna, what's that? George Harrison is chanting Hare Krishna. Then it's okay. That's how important that song was, really. It changed everything. But still, I wasn't sure. I thought Prabhupada's books, yes, very nice. I liked them. I like the philosophy. But I thought, the Hare Krishna movement, do I really have to get involved with them? Honestly speaking. So it took me quite some time before I decided that it was, that there was no escape. It kept on coming back in my life. And finally, I did so. Finally, I took it up. That is the nature of Lord Chaitanya's movement. It is like the ocean. It comes with waves. One wave, other wave, endless waves. Waves are coming. Gradually, little by little, we are transforming, we are changing something. Yes. We just develop some faith. Krishna, yes, why not? Why wouldn't? Why wouldn't God be a person? We are all persons. And if he's a person, why would he be old? God with a beard, old? Why? If I was God, I would not be old. young, beautiful, attractive, nice, full of energy, playful. Ah, yes, Krishna is very playful. Always doing things in playful ways. That makes Krishna attractive. That he is original, not always the same. Not he's sitting on a cloud or on a throne and being worshipped eternally. It gets boring after a while. You want something else, you know, something a little more exciting. For example, that God goes out stealing. Now you're talking, you know. Hey, really? That's more fun, right? Say, wow, does he do that? I thought only we would do such a thing. No, God does it as well. Oh, really? Yes. He did outrageous things also. When sometimes Krishna, when he was caught, so it is described in the Nectar of Devotion, believe it or not, but it is written there that when Krishna was caught stealing butter and yogurt and so on, that then he would go back to the house of those who had complained about him and pass stool and urine in that house. That's also our God, our Lord. He does such things. He's not dry. He's not like, you know, it's not, now, dear children, you must get very serious. No, very serious, because now we're going to talk about God, about serious matters. Don't laugh. It's serious. Why? God has no sense of humor. Krishna has a sense of humor. That makes the whole thing interesting. I noted it myself. My father was a man who really was into the house. It was a big thing, the house. And anyone who would come to the house would get a full tour of the house as if it was a museum. So I made one promise, you know, I'll never have a house. And I'll never have anything to do with a house. Next moment, in the Hare Krishna movement, I became in charge of the construction of Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi, which was like a huge house, you know? And I had to sort of deal with this house and decorating it, etc. I hate decorating, you know? God, had to decorate a house of all things, really. A house. Oh my God. And I could see Krishna's joking. He said you never would have a house. Here you have one. Krishna has a sense of humor, and that makes it all totally different. Krishna is playful. Krishna does so many things. One day, Krishna dressed up in a tiger skin. Why not, you know, for a change. He put on a tiger skin, and also he turned his hair into matted locks. He did it straight away, dreads, you know, all the way. So in this way, Krishna went to the gopis with his dreads and his tiger skin and everything. And he said, yes, I am a great yogi. The gopis said, oh, my dear yogi, we are so happy to meet you. They said, what is your name? He said, my name is Swayam Prakash. Swayam Prakash means that his influence is everywhere. Everywhere. He said, I am Trigalagya. I know past, present, and future. Oh, the gopis said, oh, that's really good. So you know everything, he says. Swayam Prakash. Everything I know. The gopis said, then you must know. You must know what we are thinking. Krishna says, I know, but I can't say it out loud. As a yogi, He said, but I'll whisper it in your ear. And the gopi said, then, if you are so powerful, then maybe you can fulfill our desires. Then the yogi said, no problem. Just close your eyes. And next moment, the yogi was gone, and Krishna was there. In this way, Krishna is playful. Krishna is not just sitting there, still the Supreme Lord, and some blessings. No, Krishna is active. Krishna is always, somehow or other, involved in transcendental pastimes and surprises. Krishna surprises the devotees, even now. So that relationship is not only there in the spiritual world, it has already started. Already now, it has begun. Already now, Krishna is actively involved in our life and doing all these things, and he's laughing. And we take it so serious. Oh, my life, all these things are happening and not happening. Oh my God, what is happening? What is not happening? What is happening? What is not happening? What is happening? What is not happening? I tell you, what is happening? What is not happening?
So many things are not happening.
And so many things are happening, if you know what I mean. It's too much. Yeah. Krishna's laughing. Yes. He's laughing. No. He's seeing, yes. Yes. And in the end, whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not, you're going to be a pure devotee. Oh, yes. He's laughing. And we are funny people. Huh? We are really funny people because we joined the Hare Krishna movement. We did it, right? Somehow or other. Here we are. Tilak everything, beads, you know, walking around in a dress and the whole thing, right? But then, we still don't surrender. And we just, you know, we went so far as to dress in a strange way, as to walk always with this bag around our neck, and so on, and still we don't surrender. Internally, we are still holding on to our old identity. Isn't that funny? So Krishna is laughing. He can see this is a joke. And Krishna, he makes all kinds of arrangements for us. Arrangements. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the Chatusloki, there is one of the verses, Te sam evanukam pratam aham agyana jam tamaha nasiyami atma bhavastu jnana dipena bhashvata. In that verse, it is said that nasiyami atma bhavastu, I am within your consciousness. I'm in the consciousness of the living being, so you can't hide anything from me. I know everything. I'm indeed Swayam Prakash. I am really, my influence is everywhere because I'm in your consciousness. So I know everything that's there. So you can't hide anything from me. And yet we are hiding all the time. Govinda Hari Purusha. With very holy faces. Meanwhile, so many sinful thoughts are there in our mind. We act as if we don't have them. We hide them. We act as if we are like already so pure. In Germany, once I went into a bookstore, and there it was, the book, yeah, The Inner Schweinhund. Yeah, you know what a Schweinhund is? It's a German word, but some in English you would say hog dog. Doesn't sound as good, I must say. In Croatian, I have no idea. What do you say in Croatian? They don't have something like that in Croatian. But anyway, everybody knows. So the inner Schweinhund, the inner animal, the inner beast, the beast that lives inside, behind our civilized facade, behind our nice behavior, the animal that is in there, the animal that wants to break loose, but not in public, when others are not watching, when the curtains are closed. Of course, in the family we know everything. You can't hide it. Still, we try to hide. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Hridaya Kandare Vatsachinandana. In the innermost chambers of the heart, there must be Sachinandana. There must be Lord Chaitanya, in the innermost chambers of the heart. The heart is compared to a house which has an Indian house, traditional Indian house of a rich man, has a courtyard in the middle for fresh air because of the heat, and then there are all kinds of rooms on the outside. So the rooms next to the entrance, they are like public rooms where you receive your guests. People come and they stay there in those rooms. And then on the inner side, around the courtyard, that's where the family lives. So in this way, outside people don't just mix with the family, and the family is on the inside. So private, nice, you know. And they can hang the washing, and they can do the cooking, and they do everything there. And, you know, in the rooms next to the entrance are the nice sofas where you receive, you know, respectable people. The Indians. So these are the outside rooms. So we also have our outside rooms that we share with others, you know.
I mean, you know, the ones where I'm very educated and intelligent and, you know, highly cultured and civilized, and Sir Kadamba Kanana Swami, pleased to meet you, you know.
And then the inner rooms, right? And who's living there? In the innermost chambers, that's where the animal lives. Oh, yes. And he has to go. That's where Lord Chaitanya has to enter. That is how it is. It's sometimes he comes out. Sometimes when you think no one's watching. And then just someone comes. You swallow it all in one gulp, hoping, acting as if you had nothing in your mouth. And that's the innocent stuff. You know so many other things. I will not get into all the details. The details are described in the fifth canto of the Bhagavad Gita, and the reactions to them also. And animalistic life is found there. And the reactions that follow. So, what to do? How to deal with our lower nature? How to deal with lust, which is raging? In the Padjavali, Rupa Goswami's first book, this topic is adjusted, is addressed, and it says that not by austerity, not by learning, not by giving in charity, not by entering into the forest, not by putting saffron cloth, is lust overcome. So, oh my God, yeah. How is it done? How to conquer lust? This is the most difficult. Okay, it took me a while before I was ready to put on these clothes, right? And people would look at me and that I didn't care anymore. It took me a while before I wasn't hiding my beat bag under my coat anymore. In the beginning I was hiding it under my coat, because in those days there were no clickers. So now you just get a clicker. But I was hiding it under my coat. Took me a while to publicly be prepared to walk around like a devotee. That, okay, was difficult, but I did it. But then, what about lust? Lust. Lust is the real problem, not the public opinion. But lust. Lust is what we all deal with. Lust is our problem. Otherwise, it would be great. Spiritual life would just be so much fun. Yeah, really. If lust would not come around the corner again, there it is. Oh dear, what do we do now? Go away.
I'm not going.
Go, leave me alone. I really don't want anymore. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Please, no. Krishna, help. Krishna won't help you. But Krishna doesn't help to deal with this lust. Krishna will help those who help themselves. We have to help ourselves. We have to ourselves. Somehow or other, control the senses, control the mind. Oh, control the senses. In the 80s, there were a lot of lectures. In every lecture, they were speaking about giving up sense gratification. And I hated those lectures. I was feeling like, God, you know, we're controlling the senses, we're giving up sense gratification. Now, do you have to rub it in every lecture? Every time, do we have to hear this again and again? It was too much, you know. But how do we overcome sense, the senses? How do we? It's not by austerity. It doesn't do it. It doesn't work. You can perform as much austerity as you like, but lust will not go away. Okay? Then what to do? Somehow or other, don't worry about it. Somehow or other, engage the senses in the service of Krishna. I have an example that if you have material desires, that means lust, get a box and put all your desires in that box. All of them in a big cardboard box. Close it and write on there, my material desires. Then put the box on a shelf. And now start to do some service. Then, you know, one day when you don't have so much service and you're alone, you think, today we're going to play with my material desires. You take the box from the shelf, you open it up, and my God, what happened? Half gone. Who stole my material desires? Who did you think steal your material desires? Who is the thief? Don't you know? This is basically the purport to the verse Sarva Dharmam Paritayamamekam Saranam Braja. Just surrender unto me. That means just abandon all variety of activity and just surrender unto me. Just engage in my service. Then, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Isyami Ma Sucha. I will take away all your sinful reactions, all your material desires. I will take them. So Krishna says it there himself, so don't be surprised when the box is empty. Not fully, but at least something is gone. Yeah. So this is really our process. Not dramatically conquering lust, but little by little, by engaging the senses in service. Then lust goes into the background. In the Madhurya Kadambini, which is a book of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, it says, in the beginning, the spiritual life is like localized, very small, and the influence of Maya is all-pervading. Or if I may present it a little more graphic, in the beginning, spiritual life is like a little island, and Maya is like a big ship, you know, coming like right past the islands, and, you know, for the guys, there are little, you know, girls waving on the deck, or these handsome guys are on the deck. And right in our face, very much in our face, he says that this continues throughout the stages of sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, of bhajana kriya, regulated devotional service, even in anartana vritti, Maya is still so much in your face. Only at nista, when you become like fixed in determination, then Maya goes at some distance. Maya is still there, but a little bit at a distance. You look okay. At Ruchi, it is said, taste now begins to cover the entire consciousness. And Maya is deep under the surface, still there. But the consciousness is filled with taste, Krishna. The ship now is 3/4 to the horizon. At the next stage, Ashakti, the stage of attachment, this same taste, this ruchi, is now going deep under the surface. And Maya, that is within, is less and less becoming prominent. And it says now the ship of Maya is on the horizon. We see it all the way in the end, a small speck. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Just talking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna and Maya, yes. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Excited about Krishna. Deeply attached to Krishna. It said, at Bhava, Maya has become a shadow. A shadow. So what is that? A shadow. It said, it's almost forgotten. In the Rupa Goswami explains that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, in Bhava, there is still a sense of suffering. There's still a sense of suffering. It is no longer about material desires. It is no longer about trying to enjoy the senses in the material world. It is now, but still there is suffering. So when there's suffering, it means we're still not fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. So that is Mahavadam. Because in prem one doesn't experience any hindrance, any obstacle. In prem, everything is perfect. One just sees. And why is it that in Bhava there is still some sense of suffering? Rupa Goswami says, because there's still some reaction to previous Vaishnava apparat, to previous offenses to the devotees. Interesting how these things are. We have in the Padma Purana the 10 offenses against the holy name. First offense, blaspheme the devotees. Who've dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the holy name. Vaishnav Ninda, blaspheming devotees. So, it is said that these 10 offenses against the holy name must be avoided. But we should know that it's not that sometimes it happens by mistake. By mistake, sometimes we suddenly call a devotee an idiot. What did I do? He is an idiot, but I should not have said it. Because for thinking there are no reactions. When Kali enters and Maharaj Pariksit is coming to stop Kali, in that chapter it is explained that in the age of Kali, for any sinful thought there's no reaction. So you can think that someone is an idiot and there's no reaction, but you can't say it. Of course, when you think it, sooner or later you're going to say it. So there's a catch. So one shouldn't even think it. So that's not so easy. Because the mind is like that. We look around and think, nice people. But somehow or other, they're all idiots. What to do? Somehow or other, only I'm intelligent. I don't know why God made it like this. The mind can easily go like this. What to do? Nobody has any brain except me. Krishna. Well, there's so many ways we can inadvertently blaspheme a devotee. But that's not just all that there's to it, to this first offense that is to be avoided. It's not just that we should sort of be careful not to say the wrong thing. No. It's about a mood, it's about a mentality of not really respecting the Vaishnavas, of not worshipping the Vaishnavas, even in our mind, of seeing a Vaishnava and being joyful. It is said in scripture that one is not joyful upon seeing a Vaishnava, one is actually an offender. One is actually an offender. So like that, to deeply, deeply appreciate the Vaishnavas. Yeah, well, that's pure devotees, isn't it? Like Srila Prabhupada and so on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. No, everyone, every single one. Well, I don't know what happened to you, but you know, I told you earlier in the lecture that it took me some time to join the Hare Krishna movement. I was thinking about it, you know, not so sure. But then, okay, I did it because I thought I will find many like-minded people, all interested in spiritual life and so on. But then what I found was that horrible neighbor of mine, who I never liked, he had also joined the Hare Krishna. Gosh, that was too much, you know. And now he was a devotee. Now I had to deal with him. That was a real problem. That was serious. Yeah. How to deal with that? Yeah. So I thought, you know, I'll join the Hare Krishna movement, and everyone will be just like me, interested in spiritual things. And then this guy also joined. Yeah, so it was tough. To be joyful upon seeing a Vaishnava. That requires that we look at a very deep level. That we are not just looking at the externals. That we're not looking at the false ego. You see? Everyone has some false ego. And there it is. False pride. Oh, yes. I see it, and now just see. I knew it, that you had a fault. No, I knew it. I knew it very well, you know. It, of course, you had, you know. And it was going to come out, and I caught it just now, see? Your false pride. Yes. There you go. Yeah. Oh, well. Yes. Seeing faults everywhere in the Vaishnavas. Well, if I don't see faults, isn't that artificial? What when the faults are there? I mean, there are faults, right? I catch someone lying. Outright lying. I'm so hurt that a devotee, no, a Vaishnava with tilak and neck beads, that a devotee can lie, Prabhu. I'm hurt to see this, deeply shaken in my faith. And who didn't lie today? Did anyone not lie today? Please speak up. Anyone who didn't lie today? Please speak up. If you would have spoken up, I would have said, you are lying. Yes. So difficult. So how can we look at these Vaishnavas and see the shortcomings and yet see them as very exalted pure souls? Of course, they have examples. They say that one should not criticize the wood which is in the fire. The wood is in the fire. We say, oh, this is not very good wood. Look at this wood, it is not good quality. And look at it, it is very cheap wood. Yes. Correct. Correct. It has holes also. Yes. What kind of wood is this? This is rubbish, this wood. Useless wood. You know, such bad wood. Really. But it's in the fire, and it's burning, and it's going to be ashes. So what does it matter if it has holes or cracks? So anyone who's in the fire of bhakti is being purified, and therefore everyone must be appreciated for what they do for Krishna. And the cracks, oh well, everyone has some few cracks and a few holes, you know. What to do? We are from the age of Kali. Everyone is cracked.
Are you also correct? Me too. The number correct, Swami. Yes, what can I say? So, but if we see that everyone is in the fire of bhakti, that everyone is in the fire of service, that everyone is doing something, and then, very nice, yes, they're all chanting Hare Krishna. But then, yes, everyone's doing service, yes. But now, let us for a moment try to look through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. In his letters, Srila Prabhupada is saying that, he says that, actually, I have no disciples. Krishna sent me so many spiritual masters. So how can he say like this? How can he speak like this? In a purport, in the Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj is going back to Godhead. Death comes before Dhruva. And then death offers obeisances to Dhruva. And Dhruva steps on the head of death, and suddenly there's a Vaikuntha plane, and Dhruva steps right into the Vaikuntha plane. And the Vaikuntha plane is about to take off. And Dhruva said, wait a minute, what about my mother? She was the one who told me to look for God in the forest. It is because of her that I'm now going back. She should also go back. Then he sees his mother also in a plane, and they're going back. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport. And Prabhupada says, yes. And in the same way, I hope that one of my disciples will become a pure devotee and will take me back to Godhead. Yeah? I mean, what's he saying? How is he speaking like this? Prabhupada. Yeah? How can Prabhupada say, I have no disciples, Krishna sent me so many spiritual masters? Isn't that a little artificial? Okay, he can say that. But how can he say it and not be artificial? No, he was not artificial. He meant it. How can he mean it? How can he see it as true? As truth? Because Prabhupada is seeing not grossly, but he's seeing everyone is serving Krishna, and everyone is doing it in a unique way. Somehow or other, devotional service is not stereotype. Devotional service is an attitude of serving Krishna, and then you fill it in with your own intelligence. And everyone in his own intelligence finds unique ways to serve Krishna. And thus Prabhupada is looking. I never thought of Krishna serving in this way. Some new devotee has come, but he serves Krishna in such a wonderful way. And Prabhupada could see, I never thought of serving Krishna in this way. Because everyone is in his own unique way serving. And in this way one can truly see that every Vaishnava is my spiritual master, every Vaishnava is my teacher. Although there may be some false ego. Because I don't like this one and I don't like that one, because this one is really like under the most material nature, and it's like this devotee has envy. And it says there's too much, like when a devotee has envy, I cannot tolerate, that's okay, I can tolerate many things, but envy in a Vaishnava is not a Vaishnava quality at all. That sounds envious, the way you're speaking now. No, we must even tolerate each other's envy. We must tolerate each other's lies. We must tolerate each other's dishonesty. We must tolerate each other's madness also. Correct? Are you also correct? Someone's cracked over there. So we must tolerate all that and see that this is all not important. These are the holes and the cracks, but the wood is in the fire. It will burn to ashes.
So like this, how deep must one see? How deep must one see a Vaishnava to really look upon every Vaishnava with joy? It's not a small thing. And then we are beginning to rise above this Vaishnava apparat, above this mentality of offending the Vaishnavas, which is really the last obstacle where we are still facing Maya, because we still suffer. Oh yes, little by little, step by step in devotional service, we're conquering Maya. Remember, at Nista, Maya is at some distance. At Ruchi, Maya goes underground. And above is all taste, just underground. And at Shakti, even underground, Maya goes away. And it's at the horizon, far away, at the distance. At Bhava, only a shadow. Only a shadow. And find the prema. Everything is perfect. So it is very interesting. I thought that when I read that, I noted it down, you know, as something very important. Not just as something interesting, but as something essential for my spiritual life. As something which I said, this is not just a nice little detail. But this is like, you know, substance. Because how long is this fight with lust going to go on?
I have been a brahmachari for 88 years and I just decided to get married. Because all this time, lust was always there. It never left. So, I'm just marrying.
There are good pills in the market these days. Somehow or other, life goes on. What can I say? That's a good thing. Somehow or other. So how long can we fight? How long can we fight with lusts? And that is why we see. That, you know, so many devotees, even after years, they still give up. They give up. Why? Tired. Yes. If you have to load a truck with bricks, first you take 10 bricks. Then, you know, after you've done it a few hundred times, you take 5, right? And the last bricks, finished loading a whole truck, you know. Of course, we do it with machines, but in India, it's still by hand. So it is like that over time, it becomes more difficult to tolerate this lust. Bang, 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 give in. No, yes, give in. No, yes, give in. No, yes, give in. Come on, fall down. No, yes, do it. Fall down. No, no. And then Krishna, he knows. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that the fight with Maya is like a war. And it said it's not just in a war, there are not just two armies opposite of each other. So no, it's more complicated. There are also spies. And the spies, they come amongst us. And they act as if they're one of us. It says in this way, Maya is not only on the outside. Oh no. Maya is also on the inside. And then Maya comes and she bounces this opportunity under your nose. Dum, dum. Oh my God. Take it away, please. Not this, not this. This is what I always wanted before I joined the Hare Krishnas, and I never got it. And I got so frustrated that I just joined the Hare Krishnas. And now it comes after all. Doing, doing.
Oh my God, take it away. If I don't take this, I will never forgive myself. Oh, it's so sweet, so nice. And then... A trident. Maya has a trident. The trident of the threefold miseries. Adi Atmika Klesh, Adi Bhautika Klesh, and Adi Devika Klesh. Or suffering from mind and body, suffering from other living beings, and suffering from natural circumstances. And just when we are at the peak of our sense gratification.
That was intense. Okay, never again, never again, never again.
Oh, no, Maya, no, 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 no. I know your game. Oh, God, it looks good. It looks good. Well, oh, but it was so painful. It was painful, but it was only short. No, really. It was intense, the pain, but it was short. And I think I could tolerate it somehow or other. If I just tolerate pain, oh, then I get that sweet enjoyment. Oh, so good.
It hurts. Tolerate. Oh, it's so sweet, the material enjoyment. Anyway, you know, if you never feel any pain, then how can you enjoy
the Avalanapika Shakti? So Maya has two potency, the throwing potency, she throws the opportunity, the Praksipatmika Shakti, and then the other Shakti, the Avalanapika Shakti, the covering potency. And then even when you have the pain, I'll tolerate it somehow. And anyway, if you don't feel any pain, how can you enjoy? Now you've made a philosophy to justify it as well, the suffering. It's okay to suffer. It's good. It gives me, like, fresh taste, you know? Yeah. No, really. After I've suffered, you know? Then again, when I enjoy, then I really enjoy. Oh, God. So our struggle with Maya continues, even with the tilak and with the outfits, even with the japa and with all these things. And how is this possible? I'm so discouraged, Prabhu. I'm chanting, Prabhu. I'm going to Mangalatik every day, no, really, since like the last 29 years. And now still, I'm struggling. Prabhu, does it work, Krishna consciousness? That is my question. Does it really work? Remember how Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur explains it. How Maya slowly goes at a greater distance. And how even, you know, first we need purification, anartha niriti. Okay, all the anarthas go out. And then nista, we become fixed. Maya at some distance, but still very much there. Andre, come. I'm not so far away. Shall I come closer? Just give me the word, and I'll come. Like this, Maya is waiting. But we say no, and we carry on. Fixed in the ocean surface, and taste comes. And Maya is still there under the surface. Still there. But we carry on with determination in devotional service. And then the taste goes deeper until it's all the way under the surface. A shakti, deep attachment to Krishna. And now Maya is at a great distance. But still, we can call her any moment.
You want me to come? Yes. I'll come.
And Bhava, Maya becomes the shadow. Still suffering. So tired of suffering. Suffering like a dog. Year in, year out. That's why I have these lines in my face. They tell the story The lines in my face speak of the sorrow of the years, of the tears that I never cried, that I used to hide. But they all reflect in the lines in my face.
I just made it up.
And they write poems about our suffering. But this one, it takes it all away. It takes it all away. So don't think it doesn't work.
It does.
That's my point. So my lecture is a very optimistic lecture. It is a lecture which is like very positive. Although I spoke about some tridents and a few little things, some poems about suffering. So if somebody, sometimes people hear only part of the lecture, and then if you say, what was the lecture about?
About suffering. No,
the lecture is not about suffering. The lecture is that actually through this Sankirtan movement, we get Krishna Prem, which means we become free from all that suffering. And we're already touched by this Prem. It's flooding us. It's entering into his life. It's surrounding us. It's coming in. With every bite, we take it in. Sarira vijaja. And again, liquid Prem. Liquid Prem, sweet rice. Yes. And then, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Yes, the Krishna Prem is there also. The Krishna Prem is everywhere, and we get touched by it. Sravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai, by hearing and chanting in devotional service, this Prem will awaken more and more and more. It's already awakening. Already. See, I will quote you a verse. Iswarata Dadine Su Bhadi Sesu Tisat Shucha. Prema maiti kripa piksha yakaruti samajama. In that verse, it says that Ishvara, for the Lord, there is prem. Tadarine su, for the devotees, there is friendship. For the innocent, there is mercy. And for the envious, we are ignoring them. So it says that. And that is a Madhyam Adhikari. So the Madhyam Adhikari says, has already got Prem. He's already got Prem for the Supreme Lord. A Madhyam Adhikari, not Uttam. Are you an Uttam? Or are you an Uttam Uttam Adhikari? Or are you an Uttam Uttam? Uttam 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 Adhikari. Sometimes we hear the question is, you know, who is an Uttam Adhikari? He has Prem. But even the Madhyam has already Prem. Maybe not fully developed, but already there. Some love for Krishna is awakening. More and more. We're drowning in it. This is the Hare Krishna movement. There's just love of God everywhere. Can't get rid of it. It's just around about, you know. Can't shake it. God, it comes back like a boomerang, you know. It boomerangs on you. Yeah. Love of God. Everywhere. So that is this movement. Therefore, my lecture is ultra optimistic. Yeah. Ultra optimistic. Suffering. We laugh at it. You know. Tridents. Yeah. No worries. Maya. Yeah. Be careful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. But Krishna, where there is Krishna, Maya will run away. Yavaita Krishna Tanair Maya Adhikar. Wherever there is Krishna, the influence of Maya cannot be there. So in this way, and Krishna is in our life, everywhere, and you can't give it up. Too late. Too late. You try. You try now to give it up. It's not possible because after some time you want some prasadam again, some kirtan, like, and you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. It's for free.
And you can't just go somewhere and rock up and say, is there prasadam? And there is. Yeah? Anywhere in the world. You know? Wherever you go. Name a city. Can you name a city? Yeah? One city. Kamash. Kamash, is this a city? That he was cheating.
That wasn't a real idea, that was his idea to catch me. Anyway, there must be devotees in Kailash somewhere, I guess. There's always a devotee somewhere. Mm-hmm. But wherever you go to a big city, if you go, it doesn't matter.
You go to Zagreb, you go to London, you go to New York, you go to Tokyo. It's very easy. You just go to the temple, you find the address on krishna.com, and you come and say, is there any prasadam? And sure enough, there is. I know, I travel around the world. It's quite easy. And wherever you go, you find the temple.
It's wonderful. What is more wonderful than a movement where you're always welcome? Because it's based on praying, based on loving principle. Prabhupada called it the Sunday love feast. Later on, we made it the Sunday feast. But Prabhupada called it the Sunday love feast. To show that this praying is here. Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, wherever there is the Sunday feast, and where there's the chanting of the holy name, and where there's Krishna Prasad, there Lord Chaitanya is always personally present. So today, Lord Chaitanya is here. And where Lord Chaitanya is, he brings Krishna praying as well. So everything... Maybe I should end with that horse race.
I try to imitate it.
I mean, from Yadunath, I think his name is. I can't do it as good as he does it, because then I'd have to memorize the whole thing, but I'm imitating it. But I can do a job on it. Basically, you know, there's the horse race. And all the horses, they are waiting at the signal for the start. And they go, and yes, Krishna consciousness is just racing ahead, with lust right behind him, breathing in his neck, and lust is moving along, and material desires are coming from the left, and coming in, and racing it forward and forward, only one length behind. Envy, a big black horse, is just racing forward with big jumps, and just making noises, and moving forward, and somehow the Krishna consciousness is getting tired in the third round. After the third curve, Krishna consciousness is losing pace, and lust is going to the foreground. Lust is one head ahead. Lust is one length ahead. Lust is leading the pack. What is going on? And then from the left, suddenly there is Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's mercy is coming forward. Prabhupada's mercy moving in. Prabhupada's mercy moving in to the finish. Prabhupada's mercy one head ahead. Prabhupada's mercy one next. And he brings Krishna praying with him. Krishna praying coming. Krishna praying overtaking us. And there's my Prabhupada's mercy. And Krishna praying over the village. There's food. I'm tired from that place. Okay, I'll finish with that. Phew. So that was the end of this lecture. So if there's anyone who has a question or a comment, I'll try and answer it. Did you translate it?
I have a question.
Please.
Krishna consciousness. You explained this danger of not appreciating the devotees, not become joyful when they're seeing them, and in that way committing Vaishnaparada, although maybe unknowingly. My question is, how to handle that between people who are very close, because then this familiarity sneaks in, and therefore we maybe not so alert of this danger. Moje pitanje, Mahač rekao da o tom problem da se vaišna parada napravi, kad smo radosni, kad vidimo bakta, moje pitanje kako to hendlati u odnosima sa ljudima koji sam jako bliski, kad je familijarnost u pitanju, onda možda nismo toliko oprezni i mogu učiniti sve na paradu.
Yeah. When we start to speak about this topic of offending Vaishnavas, you know, then it can suddenly create a mood amongst us, like in the church, you know, where everyone starts to kind of feel, oh my, I'm very sinful, and I have to be very careful, and we feel like wearing black dhotis and like, you know, black saris only. So, how to deal with this? On the one hand, we don't want to be careless in our dealings with devotees. And on the other hand, we also don't want that sort of dark atmosphere where we are always afraid of aparat, you know, offense. You have devotees who walk around and everything is an offense, you know what I mean? Oh, God. And then they come to you and say, please, please forgive me. You say, for what? You know? Oh, you know, I've offended you. So, well, I didn't notice. Yeah? Everything was okay. Oh, thank you so much. You're so merciful. You know, you forgave me again. I mean, so it is difficult in the community of Vaishnavas to try and deal with this offense issue. Because we don't want to get overly afraid and overly living in fear of offenses. At the same time, we also don't want to, you know, call everyone all kinds of names and so on, or criticize people in this way or that way. So how to deal with this? There's many suggestions being made. One is Vaishnav etiquette. That amongst Vaishnavas there is a certain etiquette of giving respect to each other. Yeah? We say Prabhu and all these things. And, you know, it's like, I don't know Croatian, you know, and I have no idea, or Slovenian, I guess I'm a Slovenian. I don't know Slovenian either. And some of you here may speak Croatian, and some of you may speak Slovenian, and some may speak a few of Slow Croatian or whatever, a mixture of the two. I don't know the grammar of your language, but if I compare English, right, to my language, then English is a language, it has only one form for addressing a person, you. Right? And you know, that's what you say for respectful address or for a common address. Now, in my language, it's different, you know. We have different forms, right? And maybe in your language also. So, you know, you can actually address someone in a respectful way, or you can address your dog, you know, and there's a difference in the words you use for your dog and for it. In English, not, you know. And especially when English went to America, it even became a little more primitive, you know. And now in America you have street language, and you can just speak in one syllable words. Hey man, who are you? Where you go? What you do? What you want? What's your name? What's your game? What you up to? Hey man, you speak. You can, as you say, you can speak in one syllable. Just one syllable if you want in English. Just on and on and on. For 1 hour. You know? And everything goes that way, right? And then, you know, instead of Prabhu, you say, the guy, you know, the guy. This guy, that guy. I don't like this guy. I don't like that guy, you know. So that language doesn't help the respect, you know. If you say Prabhu, it helps. You know, this Prabhu and that Prabhu. So there's absolutely something to say for Vaishnava etiquette. It cultivates a mentality. If you just talk about this guy and that guy, you know, then after a while, not so respectful. So Vaishnava etiquette is one way of approaching it. But It's not enough. It doesn't really do the job. I think, personally, one thing that helps me a lot, right, is on a personal level, what helps me if I make friends with devotees. Friendship. And I find support for this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because when Sanatana Goswami, after he had met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first in Benares, and then, but not the other devotees. Only later did he come to Jagannath Puri, and then he met all the other devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it said these devotees, they gave him mercy, they gave him respect for his qualification, and they gave him friendship. So these three things, the friendship. So I feel friendship is the key. Because when there's friendship, you know, then we can actually appreciate each other, and then it becomes more natural from the heart. But if it's only Vaishnava etiquette, then it's more from an intellectual, from a platform of gyan, theory, not really from the heart. So friendship is the key. That is really the key. And then, like, now I'm seeing Mayapur there, and then I'm thinking, you know, about Sridhar Maharaj, and I'm remembering that time that I was in Mayapur, somehow or other I came to Mayapur, it is the festival, and they sent me to a room where Sridhar Maharaj was staying, and because they put sannyasis together sometimes, they don't have enough room. So then he said that, Maharaj said, oh, you've come to stay with me. He said, wonderful, welcome. He said, you are the third one. I said, the third one? What did you mean? He said, well, the other ones, they came, but they didn't stay. I said, why not? He said, because I snore. Now, Maharaj, his snoring was not just snoring. It was like, I mean, it was India and we didn't have blankets, the sheets, and when he was snoring, the sheet was flying. I mean, it was really, there was a storm coming from his mouth. He was sawing the legs from under the bed, you know. It was serious. Anyway, I went to get earplugs. As soon as he said snoring, okay, I went to get earplugs. But that didn't help. And I wrapped a gansha around my head as well. And I put my pillow on the head. You know. Oh, God. It was somehow or other I managed. It was intense the whole night. But in the day, he was so sweet. It was so sweet, right? That I stayed, you know. That I just stayed. It was worth the snoring, you know. And then it was really nice because Maharaj, he also, the room had like a hall at the entrance. And so we were in the room, and then in the hall, there were all kinds of devotees sleeping there, many from Croatia. But they were all sleeping there, and Maharaj was like that, you know, it was like one big family. You know? And so I noted, I'm not just sleeping with Sridhar Maharaj, I'm sort of like now in his family, you know what I mean? There's a whole family thing going on. And in fact, you know, they were laughing at me, and at night, they were saying, you know, I get like the big luxury room and one of the beds, you know, and they said, good night, Maharaj. And then they closed the hall, right? oh, God, you know. Anyway, but I could see that Sridhar Maharaj really operated on that principle of friendship. Yeah? And I think you also would. That makes sense what I'm saying. Is it true? Yeah. So Maharaj knew that secret. He knew that secret. And we gotta be friends. You know, with devotees. Just be friends. And in the beginning, ISKCON was like that. They were all friends. But then as ISKCON got bigger, then it changed. And you know what it became? Colleagues. We became colleagues. And when you have a colleagues, colega, you know, colleagues, it's different. Because, you know, your friend is like your family member, you know. And when your friend is sort of a little bit, you know, has his moments, what can he do? He's your friend, you know. Like your brother, you know. And your brother is a little, you know. He's still your brother, you know what I mean? But if he's your colleague, you go like, look, colleague, you know, get your act together, or, you know, we throw you out, you know. I mean, really, yeah, get serious, you know, about spiritual life. Get it together. So we became colleagues. But we should go back to being friends. Friendship is really the key. So instead of controlling our sangha through resolutions, right, if we can just control it by friendship. Right? If my friends ask me something, I will do. He said, can you help me? Yeah, I'll ask. You know? Yeah. If my friend asks me, can you help cooking? Okay, I'll help because he's my friend. But if a colleague's, then, you know, you have to put my name on the roster, otherwise I will not do it. And I was already on the roster last week, so I should not be on the roster for the next 7 weeks. Because there are 8 people on the roster. Okay. And last year I was doubled on the roster. So actually I should be one time less this time. Yeah. Yeah. Just that, you know, since you're making the roster. Okay, I'm getting tired. It's late also. It's 10 to 9. Is it?
Yes.
Okay, it's 10 to 9. Well, then it was enough. So I don't know if you're still going to do an RT or something. Are you?
Yes.
Okay, well, then let's do that. But I'm not singing because I get too tired. But somebody else. So thank you very much, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Hare Krishna.